Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Hagman & Hagman Report, coming to you live from our radio and television studios here in beautiful Northwest Pennsylvania. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for your belief and trust in us. Thank you for helping us grow. Thank you for supporting our endeavors. We are working night and day, and I'm serious about this. We're working night and day to expand, to bring people the truth of about what's really going on out there without the hype, without the hyperbole, without the nonsense. We're bringing people, we're also doing it from a Christian biblical perspective, because that is the foundation. That's what's important. You know, we are not to be given to succumb to a spirit of fear. That's not biblical. And so information and application of that information, it certainly allays in your faith, allays that a spirit of fear. And we get accused of that so many times when in fact it's just the opposite. You know, you need to know what's going on for the most part to really understand what you can do to fight against it. Our next guest, of course, is a man I respect. I've actually followed this man, his work for some time. Joseph Meyer. He's the president of Meyer and Associates. He is I'm just going to call him the money man. Okay. Money news, economic news, straightmoneyanalysis.com is his website. That's straightmoneyanalysis.com is his website. Joseph Meyer, straightmoneyanalysis.com. This man is a learned man. He knows what's going on in the economic venue. I have a lot of respect for his information. I have a lot of respect for his output, his analysis. And he's a guy that I would listen to when it comes to, well, what's going on in the world, okay? He doesn't hide behind any pseudonym. He doesn't have to, you know, he's out there. He knows, and he's got the experience, and he's got the track record. So this man, listen carefully what he's got to say during this program. And I want to mention before we bring him on too, when I opened the program, I was citing a letter we got in the mail from Diane R. I don't have permission to use her name, so I'm not going to do it. Just a wonderful, wonderful listener to the program, and wrote just a tremendous letter about the program. I don't have permission to really talk about this, but the information the information she provided is just great. But I also want to direct you to, and I believe this to be the case, I believe this to be her website. It's sunflowerstudios.us.com. She sent us some beautiful pictorial cards, photograph cards, just wonderful, of sunsets and storms. And I trust that she had taken these pictures or otherwise owns these pictures, but just some beautiful photographs. And thank you. We're going to be putting them in our office. Offices and studios, but the reason I mentioned this as well this hour is to let people know that we're going to be picking out letters at random or not so random, I should say, and conveying to you what our listeners and viewers are telling us and giving us the information from our listeners and viewers on the intelligence side, particularly because if it's information that we could vet, verify, authenticate, give to you, pass along to you. That's important, as well as emails as well. So thank you so much for that and others who have sent in. Joe, I'm going to
bring on our guest, Joseph Meyer. He is the president of Meyer and Associates. He has been in the U.S. financial industry for more than five decades and has been a guest on several national television and radio programs talking about the economy, both globally and domestically. Mr. Meyer, it's great to have you on the Hagman & Hagman Report.
Good evening, Doug. Good evening, Joe. Thank you and the Hagman Report for having me as your guest this evening. An extreme pleasure to visit with you and your listening audience. Thank you so much.
No, it's a pleasure to have you, sir. Your reputation precedes you, as they say. You're well known in investment and money circles, and you know what's going on. So let me ask you, what in the world's going on, Mr. Meyer? We got a lot of stuff going on.
I think, honestly, all the economies of the world are contracting and contracting now very rapidly. And I think we're on the cusp of a pretty nasty economic downturn and a pretty prolonged and very deep recession here in the U.S.
Mm. Well, I can't say I didn't see that one coming. Indeed, I think we are. Okay. but specifically here, here we are, you know, less than a month away from our elections. Where do we stand? I mean, are we looking at a total collapse, global collapse? Or are we looking at a domestic collapse primarily? I guess that's my first question out of the gate, and I'm going to let you kind of take it where you want to take it.
I think the answer to that, Doug, quite frankly, is we're looking at both of the things you just mentioned. I think we're looking at a very serious economic decline globally. I think it's going to spill over domestically here in the U.S. And I think the surprise, as I've said many times, is not only how fast the U.S. equity markets go down, but how far they fall before this onset of this bear market is complete.
Mr. Meyer, if we could, obviously everybody knows that we're in this election cycle, and I've seen lots of speculation and reports from people inside financial institutions, economists, and people who pay attention to politics. Is there any indication, and I've heard this a lot, and this would probably be more speculation on your part, but have you heard about a potential, you know, if Donald Trump gets elected, obviously it appears as though the establishment, this is the last thing they want to see happen. I've seen many people talk about a controlled or a manufactured economic crash if he is elected. Do the people, is there enough control of the economy to where people can decide that they want to have a crash, and are they able to manipulate the markets so that would happen?
Well, I think, Joe, first of all, you have to put things in perspective. People lose sight of the fact that this rally, as you know, started in March 2009 at Dow 6470 and S&P 670. So we have had, over the last 7.5 years, a tremendous rally in the equity markets. The markets are now very, very overvalued. We've not had a full 20% correction all through this advance. And quite honestly, I think we've seen the highs in the Dow and the S&P, and I think this is a time for caution, a time to raise some cash and get very defensive, as I think this market is getting ready to fall and fall very, very dramatically.
You know, you said something here, and I want to ask, at the risk of sounding really ignorant, okay, you know, I hear people saying, well, I'm going to just have a bundle of cash. You just mentioned, you know, cash. I'm going to have a bundle of cash, whether it's in a safe deposit box, or just cash on hand. I don't know, 5, 10, whatever they can afford, 5, 10 grand. With the economy the way it is, isn't that going to be kind of counterproductive and worthless? Or is it good to have like a fistful or, you know, a cash if you can afford it, tucked away somewhere?
Well, I think it's an investment posture and a position in the market to always have, as I'm sure you'll agree, Doug, adequate cash reserves. You know, people utilize leverage in these markets. They take risk far beyond what they truly understand that the risk represents. And people want to believe that every decline that we've had will lead to the market turning around and rallying to even higher expectations. I don't think anyone is really prepared for the inevitable that I think is ahead of us, and I think now is the time to prepare and prepare accordingly. I believe everyone's situation, again, I'm sure you agree, is somewhat different. So what may be right for one person may not be exactly what someone else should be doing. But I do think this is a time to reduce your risk, reduce your exposure, reduce certainly your leverage in the market, take some profits out of the market, raise some adequate cash reserves, and prepare for much lower prices.
Much lower prices?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So are we talking deflation based on what you just said? When you say lower prices, or you mean lower Go ahead. I'll let you answer that question.
Well, let me outline two areas that I think realistically, Doug, we could see in this bear market that, again, I believe is unfolding. I think the first stop could be we would fall down to the 2007 highs in the Dow around 14,100. And if we didn't stem the decline at those levels, we would go down then to 11,780. So I think at a minimum, this market could lose one-third to half its value over the next 2.5 to 3.5 years. That's the way I see it.
Okay. All right. Well, okay. I'll say this, too, and I'll kind of preface my question. Well, this is a question, I guess. I was talking with someone today, and I explained to him that you were going to be our guest tonight. And I said, do you have any questions? You know, if you we had the ability to ask Mr. Meyer questions, what would you ask him? And he said, if you called a family meeting, a meeting of your family, given everything that you know, politically, okay, monetarily, I mean, you know, can you consider the political landscape as it stands today and the economic landscape. If you were to call a family meeting of the people that you love and you care about, you know, what would you advise them to do? And that's coming from my buddy Jack, okay? And that's his question. And I promised him I'd ask you that question, because a lot of people are kind of floating aimlessly out there and not really knowing what to do. They know problems are coming. They know they know that we're being lied to at every turn.
Yes,
but
we
really
are.
You know, but there's this frenziness out there, this frenzy that what do we do to protect ourselves? And I know you touched on, you know, how to protect ourselves a little bit, but what would you tell your family if you called a family meeting, given everything you know right now?
Well, I'd say, number one, Doug, we don't want to be in the equity markets because, quite frankly, I think the upside is limited and the downside is great. I think if we enter the recession, and I believe that's on the horizon, you know, typically recession since World War II, and I know you're aware of this, they lasted on balance about 9 months. The two longest recessions we had were 1973-4 and 81-82. They lasted about 16 months. But I think when we take a look at the extended economic recovery we've had, which is purportedly an economic recovery, I deem it an economic illusion. I think the next downturn could last multi-years. I truly believe that.
And that will destroy families, that will destroy wealth, that will destroy inheritances, everything. Oh, my goodness.
Well, I think we're going to witness, and again, we've already seen a great deal of this, the finality of the greatest transfer of wealth in history. You know, we had a great transfer of wealth in the crash of 1929 all through the Depression of the 1930s. And at the end of the day, we had 1% of the population control 59% of the wealth of America. Right now, and we've not really even started this bear market and or this economic downturn to any significance, we currently have 1% of the population controlling over 50% of the wealth. So this is going to be a generational bear market, it's going to be a devastating bear market, and it's going to wipe out the equity of many Americans before it's truly over and done.
All right. What have you learned, and I'm kind of shotgunning questions here, and if you want to, you know, if you want to take it, if you want to go in a different direction, you're free to do so, or rein me in a little bit with my questions, but let me ask you this. With all of the information that has come out about, let me give you a different question. I'm sorry, I was thinking about something different, but I guess to preface everything, gold and silver, precious metals. I've been getting a lot of people who own gold and silver who are very anxious about, my goodness, you know, they're holding the prices down. I bought silver when it was $40 an ounce. Now look at it, and is it ever going to rise? And Did I get snookered, you know, into buying gold and silver, and should I sell? A lot of people asking us questions about precious metals. What are your feelings on precious metals? And you know,
I still believe, Doug, we're in the early stages of a once-in-a-lifetime commodity bull market into precious metals. What we're witnessing is only the sixth time in history that we've seen a super cycle commodity bull market. I'd like to name the other prior five commodity bull markets for your listening audience to put things in perspective. You'd have the War of 1812, the Civil War, World War One, World War Two, Korea, the Cold War, and now the sixth time, Doug, in 200 years, the ongoing war on terror. Typically, commodity bulls, and I know you're aware of this fact, they last anywhere from 18 to 20 years. This commodity bull started in 2001, and I believe it will last until 2021, 2022. But ironically, if you go back and you study markets and you study history, 80% of a move takes place in the last 20% of the market. So what I'm saying is, although we've had a tremendous move in gold and a tremendous move in silver from the 2001 lows, the greatest percentage moves in the market are not behind us. They're still in front of us. And I think people that bought gold and silver at significantly higher prices than they're currently trading have nothing to fear. I think before this bull market is complete, we'll see gold at several thousand dollars an ounce and silver at a couple hundred.
Do we want to live in a world where gold is at those levels? I mean, what would
do we have a choice?
Oh, good comeback. Do we?
Well, you know, again, put things in perspective. 1 ounce of gold has bought the Dow twice in history. It bought it in 1932 and it bought it again in 1980. I believe in the rule of threes, and I believe 1 ounce of gold will once again buy the Dow. The question, Doug, is at what level? I believe that level is between somewhere in the vicinity of $7,000 to $10,000 an ounce, because I think the Dow can trade down between $7,000 and $10,000 before this equity bear market's complete.
Okay. All right. Well, wow. That's,
but if I was speaking to a family member or a family gathering, what would I stress? I would stress three things. We want preservation of our capital, we want number two, liquidity, and number three, safety. And if we follow those three mandates, I think we're going to come out of this economic downturn and its very vicious bear market pretty much intact.
Okay, so let's take them one at a time. Preservation, preservation part. How do you set yourself up for preservation? And folks, we're not asking. And I'll make a disclaimer: this is not financial advice, of course.
No, it isn't.
You know, so just take it for what it's worth. This is a discussion that we're having, so no one, you know, the standard disclaimers apply. So measures for preservation. How do you do that?
Well, you want to protect your capital at all costs from any market fluctuations, any surprises that can certainly come into a market in which you're invested and erode it. Mm-hmm. And I think the way to do that is to get out of stocks and bonds and certainly sell real estate if you can and move into money market securities where you can stay liquid and you can stay safe until the smoke clears and we can see exactly where we are headed and, more importantly, when we believe we can and will get there, Doug.
It's interesting you said that. You're the second person in 2 days that, if I'm hearing this correctly, sell your real estate. Is that what you're saying? Is that if you own real estate, let's say rental or income properties, are you suggesting maybe that perhaps, depending on the situation, you might want to get rid of that?
Well, I think we're going to see higher interest rates. It's not a question of if, it's a question of when, and I think real estate is still on balance very overvalued. I think when we take a look at what had led up to the crisis we've witnessed in real estate, as you know, many years ago, housing used to go up by the price of inflation 2-4% a year. Mm-hmm. When we started witnessing housing going up by 20% a year compounded for 5 years, it was a bubble that had to pop, and I think that bubble has not really deflated to the point where real estate would once again represent good intrinsic value. I think housing on balance, and I'm sure you'll agree, is still overvalued in relation to the wages and the jobs we're creating. Homes are simply unaffordable for the average American, and I think they have to fall under their own weight. And I think it's going to become a buyer's market at some point when these houses start to go down and fall quite dramatically, Doug. Again, that's the way I see it.
Yeah, and I have to agree. Just what I see locally, I mean, in my own community with the cost of housing,
you can still rent for half the cost of owning. You know, where is the benefit in owning a home if it can't appreciate? You know, getting back again to the old days, a house used to be where you lived and you raised your family. When the mindset changed in the market and the house became an investment like your stocks and bonds and it was supposed to make you rich, that's when we got in trouble with housing.
Hmm. It's always that level of greed in there, too, you know.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, that's interesting. And liquidity is rather self-explanatory, I suppose. You know, but make sure you've got, well, get out of debt and make sure you've got sufficient funds, obviously, for emergencies and for whatever else you might need, right? I mean, that's
very important.
Okay. All right. And then safety. What did you mean by that?
Well, you want to eliminate all the risk that you can certainly understand and you can certainly, you know, be able to evaluate that you're being part of for whatever reason. You have to put in perspective, the markets will always offer opportunity, but they'll always offer risk as well. And you have to be able to understand and determine what is the tolerance of risk I'm willing to undertake in a market over what given and specific period of time. There's a time to be in the markets and there's a time to be out of them. And quite frankly, I'll say it one more time, this is not a time to be in the stock and bond markets. It's one man's humble opinion, but that's my belief. I've been in these markets 50 years.
Yeah,
started investing in 1966. I was 19 years old. Went up on Wall Street in 1972. I was 25, and I've been in these markets in one capacity or another ever since.
Man,
so I've seen bull and bear markets. I've seen economic expansions, economic contractions, and I have to tell you quite honestly, I think we're in unprecedented historic times, and I think history is going to be written, and we're going to live long enough to certainly have lived and been part of a history that's going to unfold before our eyes.
Man. You know, I marvel at the history that you have personally witnessed and, in fact, been involved in the 5 decades, the 50 years of trading.
Well, I write from the perspective of having lived the times in which I write about. You know, we were there in the 50s and 60s and 70s, and we saw the good times and the difficult times as well. We saw a lot of money made, a lot of money lost, and we learned through the decades what worked and worked consistently and, quite honestly, what did not. So we learned from our mistakes, and we certainly were cognizant of the things we did right and the importance of doing them over and over. And I write from the perspective, the parallels of history, the similarities, the differences, and I outline what I think truly matters, what we can and should be doing about it, and I give you the insight to be able to maneuver the difficulties and the uncertainties that these markets represent. That's what I do when I write straight money analysis. I'm writing it now 7 years.
Yeah, and we've got about 2 minutes before the break here at the bottom of the hour. So you do have a newsletter. I want to give you the opportunity to tell people about your newsletter. I think it's a fabulous tool. It's monthly. Tell people about that, please, if you don't mind.
Well, I write Straight Money Analysis. It's now a quarterly newsletter, and the next issue will be my December 2016. 1 year subscription is $259.95. 6 month subscription, Doug, is $149.95. Anyone becomes a subscriber to the newsletter, we're going to give you the March, June, and September 2016 issue. And we're going to start your full 1 year subscription from the December 2016 issue. And All you have to do, if you want to do a subscription to the newsletter, is go to Straight Money Analysis. We got a secure PayPal terminal. Sign up for the newsletter. Make sure you put your email that you want the newsletter transmitted to. Send me the order, and as soon as we receive it, we'll send you the back issues of the newsletter. And if you need to speak with me, we're always here to take a call from a subscriber or answer any questions. Our phone number is on the website, and if you email me, I personally answer all emails, and we'd be glad to assist you in any way we can.
You know, that's one thing about your newsletter that, to me, separates you from other entities. Like, you know, you're available, and you're the information that's contained in the newsletter just is unsurpassed in my view. And your insight from a historical perspective into the current situation really puts things in context, and I appreciate that. So that's folks, that's straightmoneyanalysis.com, straightmoneyanalysis.com, for the quarterly newsletter by the same name, Straight Money Analysis. Joseph Meyer is our guest.
The subtitle newsletter right there, right to the right of upcoming media appearances, to the left of testimonials. And you can sign up for the newsletter, and you can use a bunch of different options for payment. And sign up, smartmoneyanalysis.com. We are talking with Joseph Meyer on domestic and international news and economic issues. When we come back, we're going to talk about individual banks, international banks, Deutsche Bank, China, and what these economic futures look like in the international realm, and how they can affect us here in the USA, as well as a couple other things. We'll be right back with Joseph Meyer right after this. Stay with us.
Hagman and Hagman Report. HagmanReport.com. That's our website. HagmanReport.com. Bookmark the website. HagmanandHagman.com as well. That's for all of the show venues, from Global Star Radio Network to Blog Talk Radio to YouTube Live. There you go. And, of course, HagmanReport.com for all the show prep news information that's important on a daily basis. HagmanReport.com. Follow us as well on our social networking sites. There we share insights as well. Jackie's coming on board. My daughter, she's going to be handling the social networking. She's just a marvel at that. I marvel at her abilities with that. So we're just so excited to have her part of this. Hagman Report on Facebook and at Hagman Report on Twitter. And, of course, we've got Instagram, and I think some other things, right? I don't know. Eric, you're mic'd up. You know. Yeah, he's just saying, oh, yeah, we do. Anyway, our guest is Mr. Joseph Meyer, Joe Meyer. His website, straightmoneyanalysis.com. And we, again, we want to thank everyone for joining us. You know, this, when we talk about the economy, money, and such, it really is a very, well, to me, it's a minefield. And I'm not an economist. That's for doggone sure. But I do know when things are not right, when we're being lied to, when the numbers are being fudged. And all the investigations I've done ever in my career as an investigator, the economic, I mean, you just follow the money. And of course, you know, you follow the money. That's the mantra of investigations. And you can see who the culprits are behind such crimes. And I view America and the world, at least the bankers and the current situation, the global situation, as a crime scene. That's the way I view it. Yeah.
We're going to bring back Mr. Joseph Meyer, and wanted to get into some questions about a few different global markets and the dangers that they pose if things go wrong. We've been hearing a lot of rumblings about two in specific that we mentioned before the break. One being Deutsche Bank, and the second being China.
Yes.
Mr. Meyer, what is the risks, not only to America, but to the world, if either of these banks were to collapse or to have a crash?
Well, I think the biggest risk when we talk about Deutsche Bank would be the risk to the European Union if it were to close its doors. Deutsche Bank is the largest bank in Germany. As you know, they're in deep financial trouble. They've used a tremendous amount of leverage in the market, and that leverage is now starting to unwind, and they're having some liquidity problems. Question is, will the German government, through the Bundesbank, bail them out, or if there is a bailout, will it come from the IMF itself? But I think when you talk about the banking community in Europe, you've got troubled banks in Portugal, Spain. You certainly have Italy involved as well. So I think it's a problem through all of Europe, and I think if we start to see it unfold, we could see contagion certainly spread through the leading European banks and eventually work its way to the shores of America. I think when you talk about China, they're going through a pronounced economic slowdown. It's been expected now for quite some time. Chinese banks, as I'm sure you also know, is still sitting on a lot of bad paper from a real estate fiasco that's not worked its way through. China continues to accumulate tremendous amounts of gold, and quite honestly, I think they're holding more gold now than the U.S., and they continue to be very heavy buyers on any weakness we see in the markets. And more importantly, they're holding a couple of $1 trillion in government securities, which at some point I think will be liquidated and money will come out of these markets. And I think that could also be a catalyst which starts the stock and bond markets down in the U.S. and see them fall quite significantly.
All right. Wow. Okay. Well, let me.
But the biggest risk, Joe and Doug, when we talk about what people are doing in the market, do you know that investors in the U.S. have $23 trillion in retirement assets with about $7 trillion in IRAs?
$23 trillion and $7 trillion in IRAs? No.
$23 trillion total in retirement assets and 401ks and pension plans, with $7 trillion of that in IRA accounts. And if we see the economic downturn that I believe is inevitable and is ahead of us, the devastation to these accounts could be very, very dramatic, and it could be so severe that eventually it leads to people never being able to retire. That's the risk I think people could be taking that they don't truly understand and or realize at this point. You have to protect those assets at all costs.
So for somebody kind of thick-headed like myself, okay, when you talk about, let's say I'm retired, I've got an IRA, and I got money in my IRA, and I have a broker, I don't even know, you know, and again, I'm speaking hypothetically here, I don't know where my money is, I just get a statement every month or every quarter. You're telling me that I could be wiped out. Basically.
Well, you could see the account go down by over 50%. I think that's reasonable. We've seen 50% declines in the equity market in prior bear markets all through history before. And if this is going to be a generational bear market in the equity market, and I truly believe it's going to be, you're looking at the potential of the account losing 50% of its value before it puts in place a significant bottom. And you can avoid that now by liquidating the account, going into cash equivalency money markets, and waiting till this bear market makes its bottom.
Okay. What about, well, that leads me to the question, what about the people who depend upon merely Social Security only? What about those people?
Well, you know, I've said many times these entitlement programs that people have been led to believe will always be here may not be. You know, going back again historically, and I know you know this fact as well, when Social Security was first formed in the early 1930s, we had 7 people paying in for everyone drawing down benefits. the way the system is set up today, with the economics behind, certainly what we're seeing with unemployment, we have now only three people paying in for everyone drawing down benefits.
Right.
What I'm saying is, inevitably, the mathematics will tell us and lead us to the conclusion, eventually the Social Security system will run dry. Again,
okay.
It's not a question of if, it's a question of when, and it may happen sooner than we would want to believe. So I don't think anyone can really fall back on, I'll always have my Social Security, you may not.
And then what, and I guess the question is, and then what happens? You know, when that day comes, what happens then? Are we going to see riots?
Well,
in the streets?
Well, I think that day comes, Doug, people don't get their welfare check. They don't get their disability check. They don't get food stamps. They don't get their Social Security. The system just implodes.
All right. Okay, so are we looking at, like, and maybe this is a bad example, but what Venezuela is going through right now, that type of a scenario here in the streets of America, or something even worse than that?
Well, I hope we never see, certainly, the devastation that they've witnessed in Venezuela, but there's no question we're going to go through some very, very difficult times. When people talk about how bad this can be, in a recent show I did with your good friend Dave Hodges, I told him that I knew someone that lived through the Depression in the 20s and all through the 30s, and they saw the devastation and the difficulty of those times, and I never forgot that gentleman telling me at the height of the Depression in Indianapolis, Indiana, in 1933, you could buy breakfast, bacon and eggs, toast, juice, and coffee for 15 cents. Nobody had the 15 cents. This gentleman was in Indianapolis, and he said to me, the minute somebody got off the stool and didn't finish everything they were eating, there were six people fighting to finish what was left on the plate. That's how bad it was in the 1930s.
Wow. Okay.
That's history.
And picture that. Yeah. Wow, picture that. I mean,
well, you know, another statistic I'll share quickly for you. When the Dow peaked in 1929, in September 1929, at 381 in the Dow, it didn't bottom until 1932. 41 in the Dow was the final low. But more importantly, after that high of 381 was put in place in 1929, we didn't get back above 381 in the Dow till 25 years later, 1954. So what I'm saying is, if we've seen the high in the Dow, and very possibly we have already seen that in this 18,500 area, if we start this vicious bear market that I believe is inevitable and is ahead of us, we may not get back above these levels for a quarter of a century. That's how long it could take. I don't think people are prepared and willing to understand that fact.
No,
we
I
may
mean,
not ever see these levels again in our lifetime.
And that's difficult to really comprehend. And I understand why, I guess, but I'm not surprised by it. But it's, wow, okay. What about the, what are you, well, go ahead, Joe.
Well, I don't know what you were going to ask, but one thing I wanted to make sure we talk, a few things I want to make sure we talk about is the war on cash, the future
yes.
of a cashless society, and being able to do that. How would they be able to do that? We've seen, especially, I think it was in Sweden and Norway and some of these countries, that they have and are a majority, a heavy majority of cash-free now, and they're moving towards these models where the economy will work basically as a digital economy only, with cards and card readers. How long do you think until the United States puts forth a policy trying to implement a cash-free United States?
I think it's a number of years away, and I think we'd have to see negative interest rates, certainly in the U.S., as we've seen in Japan, Denmark, Sweden, Switzerland, and as you know, the ECB bank for the 18 nations that make up the euro. I don't think we're going to see, honestly, Joe, negative interest rates here in the U.S., but I do believe, you know, shortly after the election, we're going to see a QE4. I think this economy is very sick. I think the recovery has been very anemic and illusionary on balance, and The bigger concern is we've never started a recession if one has already begun with interest rates at these low levels. That, to me, is a big concern because, as you know, the Fed's talking about raising rates and raising them sometime before the end of the year or early next year, and that could be very problematic.
All right. That was kind of my question, too. I was wondering about the war on cash and the digital commerce. The more I see, you go shopping, you go grocery shopping, you never see anyone whip out a $20 bill anymore, hardly.
No, you don't.
It's all digital. All right. So, But there's some hope in what you're saying here, because as I'm hearing this, yeah, we've got problems, but it's sick. The economy's sick, but the immediacy of everything crashing may not. I mean, it might not be as immediate as people are believing.
I don't think we can lose sight of the fact that we're still the greatest country in the world. We've been through depressions, we've been through world wars, and we'll get through this. I think the key is preparation, understanding what's happening, and then even more importantly, understanding what you can and should be doing about it. And I think there are things we can and should be doing about it. And I've said many times, we prepare for the worst, but we hope for the best. But it comes down to everyone doing what's ever necessary to take care of themselves and their family. That's the bottom line, Doug.
Gotcha. Well that's good advice, to be sure. All right. All right. Well, in the remaining few minutes we've got left, what would you advise people? Now, of course, again, I want to make sure that you, certainly give out the information for your newsletter, but also, what would you advise people to be doing, again, in a nutshell, economically, obviously preparing? You gave us three good aspects, preservation of wealth, liquidity, and of course, safety, but go ahead and give out the information for your newsletter. And
straightmoneyanalysis.com is the website. 1 year subscription $259.95, 6 month subscription $149.95. You have any questions about the newsletter or the topics we write about in every issue of the newsletter, just give me a call. We'll be more than glad to answer any questions you may have. We answer every email, and I'll take anyone's call who wants to take the time to put a call in to me and speak with me directly. I'm probably the only newsletter writer, Doug, in America that'll take a call from a subscriber, but I'm proud to say we've always done it from the very first issue of the newsletter, going back to when I started the newsletter in September 2009.
I really folks, I really like that about Joseph Meyer. I really like that about Straight Money Analysis. The fact that you can actually talk with the author, with the person behind the newsletter, and it's a very good it's a wonderful offer that you have with respect to the previous issues and such. So thank you for
honestly
that.
I don't think there's another newsletter like it in the country. That's why I sent it to you, and I wanted you to see it, and certainly appreciate your very kind comments regarding the letter as well, Doug. Thank you so much.
I'm going to tell you, man, as somebody I heard say, it's worth its weight in gold, your favorite commodity, or I messed up that phrase.
It's the single best investment anyone can make for their financial future, because it's a learning tool and it's going to really teach you what you need to know, why you need to know it, and lastly, what you can and should be doing about it with the information. That's what the newsletter is about.
Amen, brother. Amen. Well, we thank you so much for your gift of time tonight, Mr. Meyer. I can't thank you enough. Any thoughts? I don't want to put you on the hot seat here, but I'm just curious as to off the financial end of things. Any thoughts? Any predictions on the domestic front here with the elections?
Well, if we go back and we study history, and again, I think there's history here, and it's quite indicative of what we can expect. If these markets continue to fall, it would favor the opposing party winning the election. If the markets go up from here, they would favor the incumbent party. So what I'm saying is if the markets continue higher into the election, it would signal a Hillary Clinton victory. And if the markets decline from these levels, it would signal historically a Donald Trump victory. But markets historically, aside of this analysis, usually go up into an election and go down thereafter. But I think this market is very tired, it's very overextended, and I think this market's getting ready to start a pretty nasty decline. So although things may not look positive for Donald Trump at this time, I can't rule out that eventually he'll regain his footing and he'll win the election in November.
Interesting prediction. I'm going to, in fact, I just documented that. Going to be following that, and I'm going to be calling on November 9th. I'm going to say, man, you were right, or hey, we got to rethink this. But Joseph Meyer, thank you so much. God bless you, my friend. Thank you so much for your time.
Analysis.com.
Thank you, Doug. Thank you, Joe. Pleasure to visit with the Hagman Report. We truly appreciated it. Thanks again.
All right, brother.
Thank you. Have a good night.
We'll talk again soon. Folks, that was Joseph Meyer from StreamMoneyAnalysis.com. You know, it's amazing to talk with him, to know that his he watched. I mean, think about the history he's seen, and the context in which he is, the backdrop that he's using for his analysis of today. A lot of information there, a lot of stuff, and it's, you know, and you heard him. I mean, it's not a sky is falling kind of thing. No, this is rough. Expect it to be rough, but prepare. Preservation, liquidity, and safety. Three factors that he was talking about. Very interesting. And his newsletter, I gotta tell you, his newsletter is something that I've seen financial newsletters before. This is a lot different. And I'm not, you know, I'm not necessarily just promoting newsletters at all, but his is a lot different and a lot more, prescient to me anyway, I believe, the average guy. Okay. Not having a lot of money, of course. And, you know, so that's, but we thank him for his generous gift of time. So, speaking of the money though, I wanted to get back, to the money that Hillary Clinton, and I have to go to this, Joe, and then to close out this hour. The Saudi Arabia guitar bankrolling ISIS and the Clinton Foundation. We were talking about money, and I think this is so doggone important because the media is not really focusing in on this. Instead, they're focusing in on the lewd, lascivious stuff, the scandalous stuff, which, you know, does have its place. And I don't know, did you, this is kind of a side note here, did you see Michelle Obama's tearful, oh my goodness, speech about Donald Trump, you know, did you happen to see that, Joe?
No, I've seen headlines about it, though. Apparently she didn't reference him by name, and the White House has come out and told Trump that to retaliate against Michelle Obama is off limits.
But Michelle Obama was...
Rush Limbaugh talked about today how she had, is bringing, she had brought some rapper to the White House who, you know, that... shows the hypocritical nature of her claims about, you know, the rhetoric Trump used about women, and some of the media outlets are calling Michelle Obama one of Hillary's you know, secret weapons, which I don't know how effective. I don't know how many people would actually listen to her.
Deifying Michelle Obama.
The people who are going to vote for Hillary Clinton at this juncture. I don't think anything would change their mind to reverse that.
Yeah, well, okay, so Joe, let me ask you, do you think that there are any undecideds out there, or do you think everyone's pretty much made up their mind?
I wouldn't. I mean, obviously there's some undecideds out there, but, you know, I would hope that somebody who is undecided at this point would take a closer look at both candidates, their policies, and sit down and do the research outside of what the mainstream media has been telling people about the candidates.
So, okay, let me ask this. Is there anything that we could disclose about Hillary Clinton on this radio program? Let's say somebody came to our studio and said, I've got this bombshell for you. And here it is, and we authenticate it, and it's verified, and it's verifiable, and It's explosive, and it's really something. I mean, short of, you know, murder, of course. Or maybe not. I don't know. Is there anything at all?
Well, there's speculation about a video of Hillary Clinton calling an African American the N-word.
I've seen that.
There is...
And I'm sure she said a lot less, or a lot worse.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. But, you know, when you think of her base voters, Democrats, minorities, or what even her own staff in the released emails, you know, are going after, it's even come out, and this would be a good time to get into this. There was an interesting article in the Washington Times today about the WikiLeaks release and how Clinton campaign mocks Catholics, Southerners, and needy Latinos in emails.
I saw that.
And
yeah,
there are other emails that show, you know, we talked about and have been talking about the email releases and how they influenced and what they talk about with the primary election, how the Democratic National Committee had and the media had worked together with the Clinton campaign to pretty much steal the primaries from Bernie Sanders. And these emails show, you know, that Hillary Clinton really does not care about people, even the people that are backing her.
Right.
As she's, you know, calling them names. And I think that even if a video did drop of her calling an African American the N-word, I don't think the media would pick it up the way we would expect them to.
But I mean, regardless of the media, I mean, is there anything at all that would cause,
No, like we talk about Obama, she could eat drink a dead baby's blood on the steps of the White House in the broad daylight in front of media cameras, and they would spin it and explain it away as though it were something regular and normal. There's also allegations about a video being released, but a rape video of Bill Clinton and an underage person.
And I believe those videos do exist. Believe me.
Oh, they exist. This is how, you know, these people are blackmailed, influenced into doing the bidding of, you know, the people above them.
But I think of all of the news headlines and everything that we're seeing, perhaps as we lead into this election of 2016, and I do believe that this election is one of the most important events of our lifetime. And you may not think that, folks. You may think, well, it doesn't really matter who's in the White House. It doesn't really matter. But I think it does to some extent, especially given Trump, what his announced intentions are. However, we don't know if that's going to be end up to be the case. But I think we've seen the ugliness. We've seen the inside, the peek into the sausage making factory, or how they make chicken nuggets. I notice I didn't say any, you know, I mean, seeing the ugly underbelly of the sausage making factory here, or the hot dog making factory. I think that that's what we've seen. And I think that a lot of people have been exposed to who they really are. But I think one of the biggest things here, a couple of big things, World War III. I'm convinced that we are at the precipice of a third world war, of a global war, and it's going to be quick. It's going to be extremely quick. It's going to, you know, you're going to wake up one day.
That quick part. I mean, the fact that it's
going to be
happens
in coming, right, and it's going to be quick in.
That's what I don't know about
getting over with. No. I mean, the initial hostilities, but the collateral effect of it is going to be long standing. Folks, you're listening to the Hagmann Report on this beautiful, beautiful fall day in 2016, just days, weeks away from the 2016 presidential election. We've got war looming on the horizon, economic disasters. We've got all sorts of uglies coming from all directions, except for you. Thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you for listening, and God bless you. And God bless each and every one of you. We're going to be right back. Stay right where you're at.